Growing up, I drank the Kool-Aid of my parents and community's beliefs. I made that belief system more important than my own needs and happiness. Looking back, I can't fault anyone for that, not even quote-unquote God. I now have clarity in decisions and choices I make. I'm fully engaged in finding joy in my life, in my own way, without the influence and construct of others. This is an uplifting discussion from there to now. Hello, everyone. Welcome. I'm here with Sean Donovan for Marriage Part Deux. I like to throw in some random French words whenever I can to prove that I actually took French in high school and to sound really cool and smart. How am I doing, Sean? He's slowly working his way over. And so he really actually apparently blacked out during our last podcast together because you didn't remember anything. Or what did you remember?
Which podcast was that?
See, my point exactly. And I said, so you talked about marrying your ex-wife, and we talked about those red flags, and mm-hmm. we talked about why you got married again, so we don't need to talk about those things anymore. And then yes. you just gave me this blank stare.
Well, you made that very clear. Don't talk about that. I'm like, okay, I won't.
So in part two, we are trying to cover more of the bases that we didn't cover the first time in regards to limiting beliefs regarding marriage. And so you threw a bombshell at the last podcast. Do you remember?
I don't remember. Help me out here. You can't be throwing me like that.
I really love
like
making you uncomfortable and just watching well. Your going. Face. You said, I was single for 10 years. I was like, what?
Yeah. Oh, that's right. That was a bombshell?
Well, to me, because, you know, it just really seems like you like marriage. And it also seems like you kind of are the guy that needs a woman in your life.
No, I did pretty good by myself.
Oh, yeah.
I was very happy.
How was that journey?
Actually, you know, it was 10 years, give or take, of being a single man here. And I think more than half of that was actively not in a relationship. So a whole lot of first dates and app dating and website dating and meeting people and stuff like that and just going crazy.
Did you have fun?
Yes and no. You know, the full range of stories. You meet some fantastic people I'm still friends with. I have people that I've blocked from my life completely and I've tried really hard to erase them from my mind. You know, the whole spectrum.
Yeah.
And then just all the weird stories that go with midlife dating as well. So,
But you were in your 30s.
I was in my 30s. So this was like about 30 to 40, give or take, of my lifespan. And so
still in your prime.
But I was single dad and I had moved here to be single dad. So I was fighting with ex-wife, with kid, and trying to make sure that I had a home and a room and a place for him, which meant work and extra jobs and whatnot. So part of me wanted to get married to have somebody to be happy. Yeah, to have like all my sanctioned Kool-Aid sex with. And then also a utilitarian partner, somebody who's going to contribute financially to this life that we're living together.
You didn't feel like you could do that by yourself?
I did. And it was difficult.
Uh-huh.
Very difficult. I mean, so I have my 9-to-5 job. And then I'd get home about 5-ish, eat, whatever. And then I would work at the bars doing karaoke from 9 until 1. So that was Tuesday through Friday. Saturday, I usually had a wedding to DJ. So there's 12 hours out of Saturday. And then Sunday, I would just crash hard. Then my son would come over, and then he would spend the night Sunday and Monday nights and then repeat. So, but he was also coming over every morning.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm getting in bed at 2, but then I'm up at 7 to feed him, change him, take him to school.
Mm-hmm.
And then repeat the process 9 to 5, 9 to 2, 2 to 5 sleep, or yeah, 2 to 7 sleep, repeat.
So I've got a question for you.
It got very tiresome.
While you were in this stage of your life and you were dating and exploring, did you ever just explore in your head, what would this look like if I got married or didn't get married? And did you explore the fact that you may never get married? And how did you feel about that? Or did you still see marriage as a really strong, hopeful institution?
I wanted to get married, but I also wanted to be happy with the person I was going to be with. And I wanted them to be able to contribute to the life. So, yeah, I dated lots of girls that had no education, no job, and five kids. And were 30 going, I don't know what to do with my life. And I'm like, I'm in no position to take care of you and your kids if you're not going to get a job.
Mm-hmm.
And it sounds blunt, but that's the reality of it. I'm barely hanging on by myself, mm-hmm. let alone adding others to that. And then you meet some awesome people, and then they don't want you. And you're, like, you're the one that's dragging them down. I'm like, oh, that sucks. Oh, he's just a radio DJ. Those guys, they make no money. They're just poor. Yeah. So.
But you're living your best life, though, right?
Then I was living life.
Were you happy?
No. I was working hard. I didn't have time to be happy. I was just trying to keep everything that I should be doing happening.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was being a dad. And that took a lot of time, and that took me away from other things. To pay for being a dad, I had to have multiple jobs.
Mm-hmm.
So that took me away from other things. And that, you know, and then this was also around the time of the housing crisis. So I got wrapped up in that, lost a whole bunch of stuff. So, yeah, the worries of finances, the worries of obligations, and then also time of trying to be present and be available.
Right.
So I wasn't so much a Disneyland dad because I couldn't afford to go to Disneyland. It's like, come on, we're going to go hit the Tuesday night $5 movies.
Yes, those are fun.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I saw a ton of movies. It was fantastic.
Well, so did you see any of those things change when you got married? Did the burden lift?
Oh, yeah, yeah. So it was nice to have somebody that was contributing financially to the family. But then I was also at a point in my career where things were picking up as well. So when I was single, I was very stagnant. And then when I got married, in that process, was on the road to where I'm at now. So that meant better pay raise, less hours, not working weekends, and benefits and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. I mean, but she's also somebody I wanted to marry. I'm like, I like her. I like being with her. Everything's fun. Let's get married. Give me your paycheck.
Do things stay fun when you get married?
Yeah, for a while. The dial gets turned back and things are, it's a little farther in between, not as often. You're like, yeah, it's all right.
But do you feel like if you guys were living together versus being married, would things be the same?
80%, 90%.
Fascinating.
I think there might be some, because we've talked about that before, where it's like, you know, if we were to redo this again, we probably would not have gotten married,
mm-hmm.
and we might not have moved in together.
Mm.
We might have just had a healthy relationship where we, you know, she spends a couple days, I spend a couple days, then we have some time apart.
Yeah, I think that sounds delightful.
Or just not get married, period.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. So we've talked about that one.
She's and like, what's the consensus?
Yeah, it's like if this were to happen, if we were to get divorced, neither one of us would most likely get married again.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how I feel too. I'm just like, I don't know if I want to jump down that road. If somebody wants to join me on life, that's fantastic. But it's like, you know, let's get married. It's like, yeah. So much crap that goes with it.
Like what? Okay, what is the crap that goes with it? For one, what, $30,000 wedding for one day?
Oh, yeah. Well, no, I mean, screw the whole day thing. How about just all the baggage of family?
Oh, yeah.
You know, especially the older you get, you know, when you're young and 20, you're like, yay, the world's my oyster. And you meet somebody and they're fantastic. And
everyone's fresh and
you
new.
You're ignorant to family dynamics. You're ignorant to family drama. So you just roll with it.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my brother's a little strange, my sister, my cousin. And then you get older, you're like, oh, yeah, he's in jail. And these are the problems that come from her family and their family and my family. And it's like you start to see all the crazy dynamics that as an older person, you're just like, I don't want to deal with that.
Yeah.
You know, so I think if I was to at this point look at that, I'd be like, yeah, I don't want certain things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I would not want to date somebody who had children at home.
Yes.
I'm at that point now where it's like, no, I'm not raising anybody else's kids.
I have a child at home and I don't want to date anyone who has children at home. Am I a hypocrite?
No. But that was also my case when I first started dating. I remember put a personal ad up and I'm like, I was frustrated. I was like living in Salt Lake. I was in my early 20s. I'm like, I need a woman. You better have a job. Arby's does not count. You need to be graduated from school. You need to have no drug or alcohol issues, no rehab, no something like that. No kids. I'm like, I just want to start fresh. And I remember I got so much flack, especially for the no kids thing, including this really hot jazz cheerleader who's like, you'll never find anybody. And I'm like, maybe I should have rewritten that one for her. Anyway, but that's what I wanted at the time. And I more or less found it. I found somebody who had no kids, was finished with school. The other thing was I wanted them to have not lived at home. Mm-hmm. You know, you need to be, mission does not count. You have to be living on, she'd lived at home her entire life.
Really?
Yeah. Now that I look back, red flag. It was a total red flag.
To be honest with you, it is a total red flag. When someone's living at home with their parents. Okay, so my house flooded when I was in my early 40s. And I had to live with my parents for 2 months while my house got renovated. And I would joke to everyone, I'm 40 and I'm living with my parents. Yeah. Because it does sound super pathetic.
Well, she was going to school down the street. And I'm like, you know what? You can gain so much of your independence just by moving into a place with people. Roommates.
Well, you learn so much about yourself, and yes, you adult more, and
but
you know how to make
24
choices.
24, and you're going to school and living in your mom's house, your dad's house, and you're just like, everything's the same as when you were 12. You're not growing. You're not learning. You're not learning the dynamics of living on your own or paying the bills or other people.
Yeah.
And so that's a big takeaway that I saw.
Okay. So I had my dad listen to this podcast, the first one that we recorded, and he had lots of thoughts because my dad and I love to debate with each other, and he purposely chooses the opposing viewpoint so that we can dicker. And then my mom's like, you guys stop arguing. And my dad and I are like smiling and giggling because we really love this. It's fun. And so he, of course, while we're waiting to get into this amazing restaurant in San Diego called Fig Tree, my favorite place, we're sitting out in the sunlight and he's like, we need marriage. Why do we need marriage, Dad? And his point is when you grow old, you need a companion to take care of you. And at this point in his life, my parents have literally.
It's interesting that he didn't say you want a companion to take care of. How selfish is that phrase? I need somebody to take care of my lazy ass when I get old. And that's what it sounded like.
That's generally what's happening.
But when you say, you know, I want somebody to take care of when they get old. And all of a sudden that puts you in a whole different light. But no, I see where that's a utilitarian point of view.
Very much so.
You know, and we share the bills, we share the medical costs, and now I put a diaper on you at 92.
Yes, but I don't think they really shared the bills. My mom had 7 kids and 2 miscarriages and was a stay-at-home mom. That was her career. She did it really well. We all did different sports, 2 different sports and music stuff. I don't even know honestly how she handled it. And then she retired from it when my youngest brother moved out. And my dad is totally cool with that.
That's totally fine.
They have a really great arrangement, right? And she has been ailing, but they have honestly taken care of each other alternately throughout their lives.
But you can still say that's a utilitarian thing.
Very
you
much
know,
so.
Worked
it's very
hard,
practical.
Paid for the physical bills. She took care of all the kids and raised them well. You know, he was able to be gone and she was able to stay home. That's fantastic.
It's like a business arrangement.
It's a perfect partnership.
That's really what marriage is a business arrangement.
That's all it is.
But does he have a valid point?
That you need marriage? Need? No. Does it help? Yeah.
When you're older?
Probably. You know, you get to a point, you're like, who wants me and who do I want? And you're just like, you want something that's just comfortable and nice.
Right.
You know, and these people like Rupert Murdoch, I think he got married again. What is he, like 97? And I was like, I don't get it. I don't understand that.
I don't understand that either.
But you look at people who have lived, you know, 40, 50, 60 years together. And I think there's a level of they're happy. They're content. I don't want to say they've settled into what this is and they're completely okay with that. It's like, these are his nuances. These are her nuances. Fine. We get along. And they laugh and they giggle. Look at my parents. They're both in the mid 80s. So they've been 50 years plus married now. Mm-hmm. And they giggle and they laugh, but they also snap and bite at each other. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you look at somebody at 20 years old, like, oh, I would totally get divorced for that reason. It's like, you're 80. Why?
Right.
Get over it. Move on.
Okay. So I've seen people take traditional marriage and add their own spin and uniqueness to it in a variety of ways and start to redefine their marriages rather than get divorced. And what are some of the things that you observed with marriages around you?
Oh, I got a whole, Southern Utah is just crazy down here.
Right, because most people got married when they were young being Mormon, and then they figure out that this isn't their jam and they don't like where they're at in their life. And so they say, hey, we never partied or screwed around, so let's explore.
Yeah, so you got
and stay married to each other.
A bunch of 40-year-olds. So you have, the people who get divorced, and one goes crazy and one stays super churchy.
Mm-hmm. I've seen that.
And you can be like, hey, I don't want anything. Then you have the couples who are like, hey, let's work on this together. They both split the church, and then they go, all right, let's just... Well, I've never done cocaine. Let's do cocaine. Let's smoke pot. And it's funny because those people are like, okay, now we need to do it on a weekend when we don't have the kids and it's a safe environment with all of our friends. But they're also the ones that they get into, you know, even like swinging. And then there's discussions of open marriage. Like, well, hey, let's go.
Well, what's the difference between swinging and open marriage?
Swinging, I think, is just more sex. And open marriage is more like dating.
Oh, gotcha.
Dating, and it's probably a step up from swinging. So swinging is just like, hey, let's go and put your car keys in the fishbowl and see who you take home tonight.
Huh.
But then with the open marriage, you're like, hey, I'm, it's Wednesday night. I'm going out with What's Her Bucket, and I'll see you maybe tonight, maybe tomorrow. All right, have fun.
So they'll have girlfriends boyfriends.
So one or both. So open marriage, that's also, I guess, semi close to like, I can't think of the name, polyamorous relationships.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
Where with the polyamorous, you're probably more, you're sharing your love with people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're in love with more than one person. You have your wife who you love. You have your girlfriend that you love.
Do you think that's possible?
Yeah.
I think so.
I think people can segment and stuff and they go, hey, I love this and I love that.
Well, I think you can love multiple people. It's not just one person, right?
I love my mom and my dad. So what? I know I can. Yeah.
Oh my God, you do?
But you say that and a lot of people go, wait, you're devoted to one. It's like, well, that's the Kool-Aid.
That is the Kool-Aid. There isn't just one.
If you want to believe that and you want to live that and that's how you feel, I can't fault you for that.
Right.
Just as they can't fault somebody that says, I feel like I can love multiple people. And if you're in a relationship with two people who feel the same, like I had one friend, she's like, well, this is my primary boyfriend. I live with my primary boyfriend. He's the one I love, but then he goes out and dates. I go out on dates, and they have all this life together. But at the end of the day, they're at the dinner table together.
Right.
And then they can also share and talk about their experiences. Like, oh, yeah, this happened, and I went on this date, and this happened.
So they're basically roommates is what you're saying.
Yeah, they're roommates, but they also
roommates.
But they have a love for each other as well. So there's a connection. It's not just, you know roommates, but they're actually like they're doing the utilitarian life of marriage. They're working together.
But not
they're
being
enjoying,
married.
They're enjoying. No, they are married. Or if they were married. I'm sure this is the case was that they were boyfriend,
okay.
Girlfriend. But they have all the qualities of a committed relationship with
right.
The extra of, hey, my friend's coming to town. I'm going to go out and have a good time and go on a date with them. Okay, cool. Let me know when you get home. Take pictures.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have two people that can live that way, what's stopping them from being happy?
Exactly. Yeah, what is there anything wrong about that? If both parties are completely cognizant of it and in agreement with each other and it works for both of them and they're happy, I can't see why there would be something wrong with that. And why would we define that for someone, whether it's bad or wrong?
Well, some would argue that those that are in polyamorous or open relationships are more communicative and more open with their partner than most monogamous relationships. And they would say that the monogamous relationship, they're like, well, I don't want my spouse or girlfriend to know about this, mm-hmm. or I talk to so-and-so. And so there's a whole lot of people that hold back secrets because they're like, oh, I can't engage in that because my wedding vow said I can't. So, and if I mention it, then it's going to be, you know, all hell and doomsday. Whereas people in polyamorous and open relationships would be, yeah, let's talk. Talk it out. Tell me your feelings. And if both people are open to it and they know they're getting themselves into, you can say, I saw this person. I flirted with them. They flirted with me. I got their number. It was kind of fun.
Okay, fascinating. So that kind of, I've had these observations. So I'm a bit of a novice in these things. I mean, obviously, I have not been in a marriage where I tell my spouse that I want to explore sexually with other people. So I did experience a traditional marriage, but not any other forms of marriage like that. But I've had several married friends in Vegas and here in Southern Utah, and they have an open marriage or they call themselves swingers, and I've gotten to hang out with them and hang out with a bunch of women that were all in this lifestyle and to hear their thoughts about it. And I always ask each one of my friends, so what are your boundaries? What are your rules? Because they all seem to have rules and boundaries still. It's not just 100% open, and it's all different. It's so defined so many different ways. And at the end of the day, they're still not happy. Like, they are still problems. They're still hiding things. I've had several friends, female friends, that have open relationships, and they're hiding the fact that they're having sex with someone else from their husband, long term, short term. And then they're like, oh no, we're totally open. We talk about everything. And it just baffles me. And not to add judgment to it, but that so far is what I've observed. I haven't seen any open marriages where people are complete full disclosure and sticking to boundaries. And
so no matter what, happy. You're a liar in your marriage, whether it's monogamous or polyamorous. People are just lying a-holes no matter what the situation.
No, that's a terrible blanket statement to make.
But, you know, it's...
I'm not saying everyone's liars.
There's plenty of people in monogamous relationships that lie. There's plenty of people in open...
Can't you just be in a relationship with someone and just be honest about everything? If someone asks you a question, you just tell them?
Nobody likes honesty like that.
Why?
Because you want to hear what you want to hear. You don't want to hear the truth.
Sorry, that person's not for me then. There are people out there that don't want to hear what they want to hear.
People don't, but that's people.
There are people out there that literally want to hear.
I want to hear what I
truth.
Know. Yeah. Speak my truth or you're full of crap.
Okay, and that's so a whole different subject.
If you tell me something that I disagree with, I'm like, well, you're full of crap. I don't want to hear it. Now I'm mad at you. Now I'm offended at you, and now we should break up. Goodbye.
But why would you choose to be offended and mad about it if someone's just being honest with you?
It's not about the honesty. You see, that's the thing is we lie to ourselves. We want we want honesty based on what we believe our honesty is.
Mm-hmm.
And when you've broken
that. It sounds so convoluted.
It's totally convoluted.
In fact, you know, I really haven't really wrapped my brain around that quite yet. I'm going to think about that tonight.
I want you to be as honest as I expect you to be honest with me.
Okay.
But if you tell me something more than that, then you've done something wrong.
That sounds really
fucked up. Honesty is like autism. It's like on a spectrum.
I just really don't believe that people are like that. You know what? You're probably right. Honesty is a spectrum.
Like, yeah. You know, it's like absolute truth. Like, nah, you know, how honest are you with, you know, and even, what is it, the movie, what was it, Interstellar, where they have the robots, and they're like, you know, hey, what's your honesty setting? And they said at 90%, he's like, because humans can't handle the full 100% honesty. Nobody wants to hear 100% honesty.
Okay.
And if I was to tell you exactly what I was thinking, every thought, every detail, every opinion, you would find offense with some of it.
Well, maybe we should experiment. Let's hang out for an hour, and then you just share every thought.
Jeez.
And then I'll let you know where I stand on that statement. Because I feel like I'm a really open-minded person.
Yeah.
And I really have tried to be. There we go.
Yeah, good job.
Come on, Sean, help me out here. Try to be as open-minded and non-judgmental and just let people live the lives that they want to live, right? Mm-hmm. Unless it's adversely affecting me, I don't like it. But if that's how they want to live their life, okay, bye, you know? And I feel like I can take in everyone's honest thoughts and opinions and totally be cool with it. So that'd be a fun experiment. Let's try that.
Okay, I'll think about it.
Well, I already have an idea of those thoughts in your head.
Gotcha. Okay. We'll set the timer
jokes.
Over. Okay, here we go.
So back to marriage. Does it serve a purpose?
Yeah. It is a way to keep society moving forward in some sort of organized way. If we have a parent's raising children, then the state doesn't have to do that. And the children are being raised with some sort of guidelines, ideally. You have people that if somebody dies, there's somebody there to pick up the mess rather than the state or random people. I mean, if we all live by ourselves and we died, what happens? Well, all your stuff just gone. Here you can leave a legacy.
You can still leave a legacy single.
Yeah. Yeah, but
it involves a trust.
Yeah.
In contracts.
Yeah, but I don't even know. We want to be with somebody. We want somebody to be with, and sometimes we want that person there all the time.
Does someone want to die alone? Most likely not.
Yeah, nobody wants to die alone. They want somebody there, or they want somebody to take care of them while they're dying.
Yes.
Now we're back to the beginning.
Again.
Or we are there to take care of somebody while they die.
Well, those are really deep, thoughtful, profound thoughts, Sean, and I really appreciate your candidness and willingness to come back on and talk about this.
Oh my God.
I hope you remember this podcast.
It'll be amazing. It's nourish and strengthen my body.
No, though, I really did like that last statement, though. What was it? Marriage is the foundation of our society.
Something like that.
You can't remember.
I don't remember.
That was just 10 seconds ago.
Words come out and they just, there they go.
Thank you for joining us. We're going to get some marriage couples on here that are open.
Thank you for listening to the I Drink the Kool-Aid podcast. Join us next time. If you'd like to participate in this discussion, get a hold of us at idrinkthekoolaidpodcast@gmail.com. Now let me ask you, what flavor of Kool-Aid are you drinking?
Red! This has been a production from a podcast studio.